Support for the homemade broadcast on Sunshine 96.7 FM WMTV comes from Truvy Salon and Spa in St. Petersburg. Located at 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, Truvy Salon and Spa offers hair care products and salon services by appointment only. Find out more about Truvy Salon and Spa at their website, TruvySalonAndSpa.com.
This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
I just wanted to chime in and say that I think you have some great views on everything. And I think you have some great opinions.
Oh, well, thanks.
Including what you're talking about right now. I think you are highly underrated. I think that you're doing a great job.
I agree, Karen. Believe me.
Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioSaintPete.com.
RadioSaintPete.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
If you're not a regular to this type of radio, here's a word of caution. You may find it explicit. You decide if Tampa Bay Radio is blaring out airwaves or shockwaves.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
I'm Bert Kreischer, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio and RadioSaintPete.com, Sunshine 96.7 FM in downtown St. Petersburg, or on podcasts at HMBRadio.com. Apple, iTunes, soon to be Google Play, maybe. Thank you to Michael, who sent me an Instagram message at @home_made_man and let me know that it was not on Google Podcasts. I didn't know that. I should know that, but I had no idea. I assumed that it was. So Google is supposedly working on that for me. They said it might take a few weeks. I don't know why. It seems like you have a thing called an RSS feed, which is essentially a website. I mean, it has an address, and you just put that in your machine there, but apparently it's not that simple. I don't know, but thank you to him for letting me know that. Make sure you are giving this podcast a 5-star rating wherever you are listening. Spotify, hopefully Google Play soon, iTunes. Leave a quick review. Talk about how awesome Anna and I are. You know, that's really helps out and only takes a second. And of course, the store is open for a little while longer. HMBRadio.com/store. Donate if you'd like. Homemade Broadcast donation bin is always open if you want to. You don't have to, but it's there. HMBRadio.com/donate. Congratulations to the Tampa Bay Lightning. That was Dan Deacon, the artist I opened up with today, Feel the Lightning. And we're honoring the Tampa Bay Lightning today. Hopefully, I'm recording this on game two of the semifinal, I guess. They got through the Toronto Maple Leafs, game seven. Man, those poor, poor bastards in Toronto. You know, Canada is one of my least favorite countries of all time. It's been well documented. It's a failed terror state. We all know my opinion on that country. In jest, of course. I love our brothers up north. But you guys suck, and your hockey team suck, and I'm sorry. It's just the way it is. I think most of you, if you're honest with yourselves, will agree. Although Edmonton and Calgary are going at it right now, too, and that should be a fun series. That would be a heck of a rematch, Tampa Bay, Calgary again. That was when Tampa won their first Stanley Cup in 2004-ish. That sounds right, 2003, 2004. So I think that, you know, I don't really know much about hockey. I don't really watch during the regular season, but I'm a big fan in the playoffs, baby. I'm one of those fans. So, you know, hopefully they can bring home a third Stanley Cup. That would be really cool for the area and make the Tampa Bay Lightning probably, arguably, maybe the best hockey team ever. Yeah, I said it. 813-693-2124, hmbradio.com, home_made_man on Instagram and Twitter. And follow Radio St. Pete while you're there as well. Radio St. Pete. Easy as that. This is a repeat, not a repeat. If you're hearing this for the first time, it's not a repeat, but it's a stitched in podcast from a live stream that Anna Hummel and myself do Wednesdays around 5:30 on the YouTube page. So be sure to like that YouTube page. Just search HMB Radio. Easy enough. Like it. Hit the bell so you get reminded when we go live, and you can join in on the conversation. It's always a good time, and we enjoy talking to you folks. And you know, but even if you don't do that, one person said, it just messes up my routine. I'm used to listening on Sunday. I hear you. We're here for you, and thank you for listening. Enjoy. Thank you. Anna, I had to reset. Thank God I looked at the recording, because I had a special feature on that and your audio was not coming through. I think it was still coming through on the live stream, but it wasn't coming through on the recording. So welcome again to the Homemade Broadcast 434. If you witnessed Anna Hummel rubbing rocks on her face, then consider yourself privileged. And if you didn't, you can catch the replay anytime you want on YouTube. Oh, there she is doing that. Do you think that works?
Like I said, I have no idea. I haven't researched any of the science. I really don't believe a lot of that Eastern medicine stuff, but it just feels good. Like, it literally just feels nice. So why not do that if it feels nice? You know what I mean?
Yeah, true that, true that. Okay, I mean, as long as it does something for you, then who cares if it works or not? Placebo effect right. is still in effect, so that's
great.
Well,
it feels good. I think it's just supposed to, like, make your face look more like snatch and like define your
or
chin.
Like, Anna, please, no cursing on here. I'm sorry. What does that mean? Snatch?
I've heard the term thrown around by those in like the beauty field before, and I think it just means like your jawline looks more chiseled.
Okay, we'll go with that. Is that your roommate?
Yes.
Oh, get her on camera. I want to yell at her. Okay. Oh, all right. Really, like, sorry. Before. Okay, sorry.
Way well, to go, Will.
Yeah, my bad. My bad. Welcome to this. I guess we've got to get started eventually. Welcome to the stream. 434. We got some comments. Robert is heading to Santa Cruz, California before he leaves to go to Korea from Tampa. And he loved listening to us back in the day on Stay Woke. Wow. Robert, I hope you're not on the run from the authorities. I hope that you're just going on vacation or something like that. But thank you for joining us before you leave. That's incredible. Please share.
In Korea, that seems a little sus.
Is it? Well, you don't fly to.
Okay. I could see you going from like LA to Korea, or maybe San Francisco to Korea. Oh, maybe he's chilling in Santa Cruz before he goes to one of those major airports. But I was like.
Oh, he's active duty military. Yes, that's okay. That makes sense.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you, Robert, and good luck over there. Please don't. I don't know. I guess Korea is pretty safe. I don't know.
South? Did you say North or South Korea is pretty safe?
Well, I mean, probably both are pretty safe. You may not have food in the North, but you may lose some weight. But I don't know how rampant crime is in any of those places.
Are you familiar with that Otto von Buren dude?
Yes. Well, don't steal any.
Otto von Botulism dude.
don't steal any sort of tapestries in Kim Jong-un's facilities.
I don't think they're going to let you in the country anyways. Aren't they in like heavy duty lockdown because allegedly six people died from COVID?
Yeah, yeah, and they're activating the military, I believe. Now, they said they didn't even have it when it first, they were the only country in the world without COVID when it went down.
It would be any country. I would think it would be North Korea.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Did you see that monkeypox is back? Or
what
I guess
is that?
Arrived. Monkeypox, a new pandemic just dropped. I just saw a story on online that monkeypox has made its way to the United States after being in Europe and now Canada, and now it's in the United States. So perhaps we've got a new pandemic.
I hear all sorts of stuff about swine flus and bird avian flus, so I just kind of ignore it at this point, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's good. That's good. David Council says there are worse things she could rub on her face. Like what? David, please elaborate. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, I don't know. Scott wants to hear about my girlfriend. My girlfriend and I met on an application called Hinge, and I don't know what else you want to know, Scott. That's boring. This week, though, I wanted to talk to Anna about something that happened on the internet. Now, the internet is a big source of information. It's a big source of misinformation. There's commentators. There's dissidents. I mean, it runs the gamut as far as opinions that you'll hear. And I think an unpopular opinion can get you in a bad spot. It can get you harassed online. But the way to beat that is to sign offline. That's all you have to do, right?
Yeah, turn off the computer.
Turn off the computer, walk away. Tyler, the Creator, had a great tweet back in the day. Something along the lines of paraphrasing him here is, how is cyber stalking a real thing? All you got to do is cyber bullying. Yeah.
Bullying, yeah.
Yeah, all you got to do is turn the computer off, and he was totally right about that. Do you follow anything with the swimsuit models, these Sports Illustrated swimsuit? You ever look at it? You know what it is?
Only when it makes the news for an offbeat reason, like someone's 1,000 pounds or they have a 95-year-old gracing the cover, or someone with like either one too many limbs or not enough. Usually that's when I start paying attention.
Yeah. Yeah, well, good, because then you must have been paying attention this week, because I don't know if you know who Dr. Jordan Peterson is, but he's kind of one of these dudes who's very popular online, but also very popular online for negative reasons as well. He called out and kind of shamed Sports Illustrated issue cover Yumi Nu, or No, in a controversial tweet on Monday. He left Twitter.
She's a fat Asian, so she's really covering a lot of bases.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, she's...
In terms of body diversity and racial diversity, I think she feels like she's representing everybody. But she needs, like, a cognitive disorder or, like, a learning disability. I wish she would just, like... She was, like, bad at math or, like, had dyslexia or something, you know, in addition to the other two.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're right. She does cover a lot of bases, and I don't really know what happened to... Well, I know what happened to Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition is that it just followed the culture of what's going on now, and now it's got a very diverse cast of characters. It kind of was... And I remember it being diverse. I remember I had a special Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition that I kept under my bed for a long period of time when I was a boy. My bubby got me a subscription to Sports Illustrated because I like sports when I was a kid. Yeah, and once a year, you would get the Sports Illustrated edition. There was very pretty ladies in there, so I decided to hide that one under my bed for no particular reason, but I did. And very good looking ladies in there. Now, it's changed. Well, I wouldn't say it's changed, okay? I'm not trying to say that this lady, Yumi Nu, is not attractive, because I think she's very attractive.
I was about to ask you, that was my first question to you, actually.
That's my type of gal, this lady here. But Jordan Peterson has a differing opinion about this. He says that the University of Toronto professor announced that he was going to be leaving social media, where he has nearly 3 million followers, just hours
Twitter,
after.
Specifically.
Twitter. Yes, Twitter explicitly, yeah. While his account is still active, the 59-year-old wrote that he will be departing the Twitterverse following the backlash that he got for hating on news magazine photo shoot. He said that the endless flood of vicious insults is really not something that can be experienced anywhere else than on Twitter. He tweeted that on Monday night. He says, I like to follow people I know, but I think the incentive structure of the platform makes it intrinsically and dangerously insane. While his account is still active, Peterson said he has instructed his staff to keep him off of social media. This is to the point now where he has to tell his staff he has such an addiction that he can't, he's got to be watched and have his staff make sure he doesn't get on Twitter.
Is he like a child? What's going on?
I don't know.
I mean, a lot of respect for Jordan Peterson. To be honest with you, I've been watching a lot of his videos lately just because I've been watching short YouTube clips and they kind of automate for me. And I usually watch, like, you know, anywhere between a clip that's 2 minutes and 10 minutes. But and he has a lot of good advice, but it seems like he's not really good at taking his own advice. And if you're going to start throwing insults or, you know, say something controversial on social media, you kind of have to expect you're going to get a lot of hate back. So the fact that he didn't think that that was going to happen or was, like, surprised that he was getting probably death threats and a bunch of other stuff is beyond me. He should know better. So
Yeah, I think you're right there. He should know better. It's not really worth having an opinion on Twitter. I just wait. What I've been doing now is, like, nobody wants to hear anything that I have to say really on Twitter. And then it could be, you know, twisted for somebody's own game if it's something they really not that I'm particularly a target or anything with that, but I mean, who wants to read a take on something like that? Like, you don't dig this chunky girl on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Like, why do you feel the need to put that out to the world to millions of people? You know what I mean?
To get a response. And then, like, you're suddenly surprised that a lot of people are upset by that. And he even said, like, sorry, like, insinuating that he knows that this is a controversial take. And then all of a sudden is, like, blindsided by the fact that he's getting all these insults back. Like, for a very smart man, that was a really dumb move. Like, you should just, I hate to say be a man about it, but just, like, turn off the computer or just say, I stand by what I say, double down, triple down, quad down. Stick to your guns, and the storm will pass. We all know this. So.
Yeah, and that's what, and in his defense, that's what he's doing. He's going, okay, well, this is not for me. You know, he's instructing his staff to keep him off Twitter. He's signing off, logging off.
Yeah, but I just feel like the fact that he said something insulting, expecting the world to hear it and say it, and then can't take all of the hate back. I mean, it's his prerogative. He can log off if he wants to. It just seems to be a bit bizarre that he's, like, offended or surprised by the fact that he got a lot of hate. Like, what did you think was going to happen? I don't know.
So let's get down to the bare bones of what he said. And I don't know why he felt the need to tweet this out. I guess he considers himself a cultural warrior and a leader in that space.
He's very mentally unwell too.
Oh, like, yeah, for sure.
Diagnosed with, I think, severe depression. I know he suffers from an autoimmune disease like his daughter does. He's got a problem with alcohol. So I have a feeling that, you know, he's kind of one of these guys that I suspect that gives great advice, can't always take it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, he tweeted this out. He decided that the that news cover was so jarring to him that he needed to make this comment. He said, sorry, not beautiful, and no amount of authoritarian tolerance is going to change that.
He's also a contrarian. Like, we know this, you know.
I'm trying to see, you know, I see his point in this whole thing. I just don't feel the need why he felt the need to say it. There is a big push to normalize being fat and not having to take any sort of responsibility.
That fat.
I mean, she's chunky. She's pretty big.
She is, but she's like, she's not, I mean, I guess I'm just used to the Tess Holidays of the world.
Yeah.
So when I see her like that, I'm like, she could stand to lose 40, 50 maybe, but she's not, which is obese. But yeah. No, to me, I've seen the extreme. So I'm like, that's really the hill you wanted to die on? A girl that's, you know, kind of overweight, like, really go for the gold, like, go for a Tess Holiday, go for a girl that's like 1,000 pounds. Don't go for a chick who could stand to lose 40. Like, I don't know. That's
well, this was probably the biggest they got, I think. I haven't seen the issue, but this was one of the cover models. And I think Kim Kardashian was on it. Then they had some old broad on there. And
Old Broad was Elon Musk's mother.
Really? Oh, yeah. Wow. Interesting. Yeah. So I don't
he
know.
He was a mole, by the way. And I guess still is.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not, and so is this lady. She's a, it's models of different sizes and different ages. Like, I get what they're doing, mm-hmm. but it's kind of antithetical to what it was, you know, when it started, which was some not particularly realistic view of what women are. I know they have a men's version now, too. It's not, go ahead.
It's not. What do you mean realistic? Like, there are women that, sure, it's like airbrush and stuff. But for the most part, I mean, there are women that are that beautiful. It may not be the right. typical.
But they're freaks. Woman. Typically, yeah, their bodies are not, very hard to come by. It's not something that.
People say it's like not reality. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been in the presence of like a beautiful person, but you're like, whoa, like God created, like that is a specimen of a human being. That's reality. It may not be your reality. But people do look like that, and people want to look at people that look like that. And right. that's okay. Yeah. So
exactly. But it's like a bell curve, right? So it's there. These are kind of the freaks. These are the ones that are
the outliers, no doubt.
Yeah.
But,
so,
you know, I mean, much like we don't want to watch a bunch of JV soccer players, you know, play soccer. We want to watch the best. We want to watch the best football players, and we pay them a lot of money so that we can watch them perform. The same thing goes for models, which is bizarre, the fact that, like, we're willing to admit that some people are better athletically, like, genetically, obviously hard work, but a lot of it is just innate ability, and we're all willing to accept that. That's fine. I mean, again, there's debates and stuff, but when it comes to, like, beauty, it's like suddenly we have to admit that everybody's beautiful and everybody's a 10, and it's like, well, no. That's not the case either. Like, there are people who just innately have better, you know, more symmetrical, aesthetically pleasing genetics, and that's okay. And yeah, it's enhanced with makeup and computers and stuff like that. But there's a reason why most people don't grace the cover and why it's such a big honor, is because there's only a few people in the world that look, that really are that beautiful. So
bingo. Exactly. So that's where I kind of see his point in this whole thing. Not that she, I think he picked his words bad, because, you know, saying that someone's not beautiful, it's just antithetical to what the mission of the SI swimsuit edition was kind of the elite of the elite. And you know, to a certain extent, I guess, you know, since it was scantily clad women, it was kind of showing the female form in its, you know, peak position, right? But then I think that they would say that the critics of that would say, like, well, these are just social constructs, that the only reason that we find these, you know, bodies attractive is because it was pounded into our head socially, and it's not really true of what human nature actually is, which I don't think the science really follows that, but I think that that's what they would say.
They would, but it's funny because, like, even the fat models or the whatever, the models that look a little bit different, despite race or, you know, age is kind of different, but in terms of size, like, we don't see any women with thin hair. We don't see any women with bad skin. Like, there are some, we don't see any woman with, like, tons of wrinkles. And if there are wrinkles, obviously they're airbrushed out, or she has a lot of makeup on, or a combination of both. So it's like, we're willing to admit, okay, well, there's diversity in terms of size and beauty. Fine. That's like the big, battle we're fighting right now. But what about, like, women with acne? Why don't we see women with acne on the cover? Like, we all agree that nice skin is good, but what about women with bad skin or, like, thin hair or something like that? So there's a lot of diversity that we're not covering, which to me is funny because we still all kind of share that same standard of beauty in terms of, like, a youthful face, nice skin, nice glow, long luscious hair, things like that. So unless, like, you're a you got alopecia and then you got some other disorder and they want to highlight that, but that's more of just like a showcasing, I hate to say, like a, you know, like a circus, like, come to see the freak show, this person has vitiligo, this person has alopecia, this person has, you know, one leg or six, that sort of thing. But, you know, that's really not the standard of beauty. But, you know, whatever, SI is a private company, they can put on display anybody they want. So.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I don't disagree with that either. I just think, you know, to play that devil's advocate here, like, and to Jordan Peterson's point, I mean, he's not wrong in his approach. I think he just chose his words wrong, because somebody said on Twitter to him, that chunky women on a magazine covers, you sound like a parody of you, when he's talked about that being authoritarian. And he responded back that it's a conscious, progressive attempt to manipulate and retool the notion of beauty, reliant on the idiot philosophy that such preferences are learned and properly charged by those who know better. And that's
the worst. Like, that's not a Twitter. The Twitter response is like, go F yourself. You know, but what would be so funny and the best troll ever if he's like, oh, I'm not talking about the fact that she's overweight. I just don't like Asians. Like, that would be, yeah, that's the joke. Like, that would be, that's the joke right there where he's like, no, I love voluptuous women. I just think Asians are ugly. Like, that the troll.
Yeah, that would be a good troll. I don't think Jordan Peterson is necessarily known for his humor, though, unfortunately. Yeah. David Council says social media makes us all important, relevant experts. We can't understand why no one cares about our opinions, and too many cry free speech when we face consequences for our words. Okay. I mean, he is an expert. He's very knowledgeable. Yeah, and you know, I don't disagree with this point. I think he just chose his words wrong, saying that she's not beautiful. And
I think he relapsed and he was drunk. And he just started getting on Twitter and saying some stuff. And he's like, what am I doing? Yeah. I need to be back in rehab, eating red meat exclusively. You know, maybe he had like a piece of bread and it like set him off. Who knows? The guy hasn't had a carb in like freaking 6 years. He's hungry. He's hangry. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, that could be. That could be. I'm not quite sure. You know, I just keep going back to, it's Twitter is not a place to have any sort of conversation. It's really a waste of time. Much like putting your thought out there on Facebook or something, you're either going to get a thumbs up or you're going to get a, you know, perhaps a friend that doesn't like you anymore. Those are your options. So, I don't really know what to use Twitter for, what to use social media for. I do use them, but it tends to be for things like promoting this podcast, promoting radio shows.
Sharing news and videos and things of that nature. I don't know. With the Jordan Peterson thing, it still does kind of baffle me because it was meant to provoke. Like, it was a provocative thing to say. Yeah. And he is a provocateur in a unconventional way, in the fact that he's like also an intellectual, so he's not like who's like a troll that we all know. I don't know, he's not like a Donald Trump, you know what I mean? He's someone who's thoughtful about it, but I was just kind of, I didn't understand why he was saying that if he didn't expect to get a reaction. It seems like he wanted the reaction to be surprise, shock, and, you know, being controversial. So.
Yeah, I don't, and I agree with them again that they're trying to retool what beauty is. I think there's plenty of science on that, that there's a reason why we find these bikini clad models attractive of old anyways, and why some people like, you know, bigger girls, some people like,
that
people have tastes and preferences. But I think overall, again, it's like a bell curve where there are certain things that evolutionarily we find more attractive in the opposite sex or the same sex, if you're attracted mm-hmm. there or whatever you're attracted to. There's certain things that on the whole are more highly regarded, you know, in a mate.
Right. I honestly would be more surprised if they, I would think they would have more diversity if they put someone on there with an ugly face. Because fat models have beautiful faces. Like, that's undeniable.
Why not put a burn victim on there?
Gorgeous. She's got a beautiful face. Like, she's like, yeah, like 40 pounds overweight, but who cares? She still doesn't have an ugly face. She's not gross looking. It's not like you got like Janet Reno up on there. You know, you got someone who has a symmetrically beautiful face. Even if she has an extra chin, you can still tell it's a pretty face.
I think, I don't know if it was Sports Illustrated or some other magazine or something. They had a thing with a person with Down syndrome. A young lady with Down syndrome.
That was she on Sports Illustrated? Because that's coming up next.
I can't remember if it was Sports Illustrated or if it was some other thing. Down syndrome. We'll use.
I know what you're talking about, though.
Yeah. And she was in kind of like a bikini.
It was a model.
Yeah.
I think it was a bikini.
Victoria's Secret. That's what it was. This was back in February. There was a. So I guess she was in like lingerie and she had, you know, Down syndrome.
I mean, Is there something inherently problematic as long as she can consent and she's of age?
I mean, I don't know. Victoria's...
I mean, those are really... Go ahead.
Well, especially, like, even the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition is a little different because it's bikinis, but I feel like Victoria's Secret is underwear and lingerie, and it's supposed to...
They also do bathing suits.
Okay. It's supposed to, you know, arouse you sexually. Are you even...
And
you
Sports
know,
Illustrated's not?
Well, I think it is, but more so for Victoria's Secret because it's, you know, mostly lingerie. Like, can you even, are you, should you be attracted to somebody with Down syndrome? Is that even like, okay?
You can be. I think that.
Is it against the law if you were to do sex stuff?
I think people are consenting and of age. I think those really are the two ingredients you need for legality in terms of sexuality. I would say is consent and an age.
You better consult with an attorney before you go doing anything, because I don't know. I would.
Well, what else would the restrictions be? Limitations be?
I mean, are they able to consent?
You gotta be 18
with their,
and you can't rape them. So
with their condition,
everything else is fair game.
Are they able to consent with their condition?
Well, that's the question.
Yes, that is the question.
I think it depends on the spectrum of the condition. But I think many of the higher functioning ones can consent. I mean, they can communicate, and just because you have Down syndrome doesn't mean you can't consent.
But a 17-year-old can communicate and theoretically consent.
Well, I said those two things have to be present: 18 at least, and the ability to consent. So okay. She's 19, 20.
Okay, but let's say that they've done tests and they come to the conclusion that she has a mental age of 12. So she's in a 19-year-old body, but she has the capacity of a 12-year-old.
Well, then that would deal with the ability to consent if she can't consent. Yeah. I think it's fair game. I think it's fair game. If you're 18, that's the law. And if you're able to consent, you know what's going on. I don't think you have to have the mind of an adult, right?
Because then
you start putting where you can start putting restrictions on stupid people that aren't clinically, mentally disabled, but they got an IQ of 62.
Yeah.
You know, they're Stephen Avery type, and then you start putting restrictions on those people because they have the intelligence of a 5-year-old.
Right.
But they're adult. Like, then I don't like giving the state that much power. We have to just put like some. You know, some hard lines in the sand. Can they consent? Yes or no? Are they 18? Yes or no?
Yeah, I think that's true. And also understand that bad things are going to happen. There's no such thing as a utopia because people like to do that where they go, well, if you do this, then this might happen. And you go, okay, well, it might.
Oh, yeah, with the slippery slope, like with the Roe stuff, I hear people say, you better get ready, gay people, because they're coming after us next. It's like, what? But. It is what it is.
Yeah, it sure is. Well, I know you got to go. You're going to get your butt kicked today in jiu-jitsu.
Yes,
I saw you're wearing
third time this week I'm training. I'm going to train 4 times this week.
Oh, my God. I thought you just went once a week.
No, I'm trying to go 3 to 4 now.
Holy cow. Good for you.
I want to get good faster.
So can we just conclude with was Jordan Peterson right, and was he wrong in his assessment, do you think?
I mean, he was right, and that's what he, in the sense that that's what he thought.
Uh-huh.
You're entitled to your opinion. I think he's an idiot for being such a smart guy to think that he wasn't going to get, or he's in any way, shape, or form surprised at the backlash. That is befuddling. But other than that, I mean, sure, you're right. You're allowed to see. I remember Louis C.K. In the show Louis, I think he said to his daughter, who the girl who played his daughter, something along the lines of, "You, if someone tells you you hurt their feelings, you can't tell them that they're wrong." You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
You're entitled to feel the way you want to feel, and no one can tell you you're wrong for feeling that way. It's like, well, no, you're entitled to feel however you want. You know.
But there's also like you can't expect the world to kind of bend to your emotion and how you feel.
No, but you can't tell someone that they're wrong for feeling that way. So, I mean, I wouldn't tell Jordan Peterson that he's wrong for thinking that something's beautiful or not beautiful. But, it was more of just the fact that he seemed to be surprised at the wave of backlash.
But. Yeah, yeah, it was just a naive thing to. But I think, you know, I guess he expected shrapnel and he got it, and so you sign off for a few days and then you get back on and when yeah, it cools down.
I honestly
down.
Just think he was drunk.
I don't think he drinks.
He did. He went to rehab for it.
No, I don't know if you. He did? I thought he went to rehab for barbiturates. He got hooked on barbiturates.
That is, and also he had a problem with alcohol.
Oh, interesting.
He was using them in combination, but he definitely talked about his drinking extensively, that he was drinking a lot.
How about that? Did not know that. Very interesting. Okay, Anna, we will let you go. I hope that you... have you got punched in the face yet? Like, you got a black eye?
Well, I'm not doing striking, so wouldn't see me. See me with a broken elbow, but you probably wouldn't see me with a black eye.
You
conceivably, if it was like an accident, like something slipped and hit me in the eye. But I'm not taking like any sort of Muay Thai or boxing or striking. It's more about bending and choking.
Well, good. That's great. Well, Anna, thanks so much for joining me again. It's always a pleasure to see you. We still got to do your birthday lunch. You got to let me know when you're available.
Okay, and you're, that's fair.
I'm working from home during the day, so let me know when you'd like to go, and we'll do that.
Thank you, Will. I appreciate that.
Yes, ma'am. We'll see you next week,
Anna.
All
right. All right. Bye.
813-693-2124 is the voice of text line. HMBRadio.com is the website. HMB Radio, all one word, on YouTube for the live stream. And you can subscribe to the mailing list. I'll email you like twice a year, maybe. There is a little sign-up sheet on the website there. So go to HMBRadio.com and sign up for that. Twitter, Instagram, home_made_man. And Facebook is HMB Radio. So like those pages. With that, I bid you an adieu. I hope you have a great week. I'll talk to you on the Johnny B Show, 8 to 10, 102.5 The Bone. Go Lightning. Go Rays. Canada. I've given you enough crap today. Have a great week, everybody. This is HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. Goodbye.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSt.Pete.com.